You guys probably all have plans for post-church, and a lot of your plans are just going to be, where are we going to eat right after church? And you think about all of the holidays and the milestones of life, all of them are marked by feasting. Humans love to feast. It's one thing we have all in common is that we love a good meal. We love to celebrate with a giant plate wherever we are. Food is so good. And I start that to really set the stage for everything that we're going to talk about throughout this summer series for the way of Jesus and the sermon in the plain flies in the face of what we think of as blessed. If today I stood before you and I said, blessed are you when you feast on all of the joys of traveling and cuisine, it would be a very short sermon because we don't really need much preaching about that. But today we look at another example, and this is just the lens by which you need to read the Sermon on the Mount. We've called this series The Way of Jesus, and maybe a better title would have been The Surprising, The Shocking Way of Jesus. To follow Jesus and to understand his philosophy of your life, for your life, is to understand that he wants you to see the world radically different than you currently do. And we'll get a great example of how shocking today's word or blessing is very simply. So read along with me in Luke chapter 6, verse 21. He's going to give another key to the blessed life in his kingdom. And for this one, in verse 21, he says, blessed are you who are hungry. Not blessed are you who are full and satisfied. Blessed are you right after the feast, ready for a nap. He's now going to give us a principle for following his ways for your life that flies in the face of one of the great blessings that we normally think of, which is feasting. And he's going to say, you're actually blessed when you're hungry. He says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And we'll save that for next week. But today, we just ask the question that as you read the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6, you have to continue to ask, why? Why are the ways of Jesus so upside down? And how do we find a blessing when we are actually deeply hungry? Hunger, it just for those of you, some of you might have it right now, some of you experience this part of your life, hunger is painful. Hunger actually stirs in us a physical discomfort. And in other translations, he says, blessed are the hungry. It's not just painful physically. It's kind of embarrassing socially to be at the very bottom of the food chain, literally, to be the class of people who are so unprovided for in your life that you have to think about where food is coming from. And Jesus will say, these are people in my kingdom, this is a condition of your life in my kingdom that can be blessed. So today we just answer the question, how does Jesus give us a blessing for those conditions of our life? And so I'll just, short verse, short sermon, three ways that you are actually blessed when you're hungry, that you're blessed when you find yourself in a condition of great hunger. The first one is going to be a theme throughout understanding the way of Jesus for your life. When he draws out principles that surprise you because they're blessed, he's teaching you about how you are blessed by hope. Hunger is one of the great tests of your hope. It's one of the reminders that there are things that you need in your life that you don't have. The hunger is often used as an example of people who feel a lack of hope. You remember the children of Israel as they're leaving slavery in Egypt and they get to the wilderness and they're so hungry, they actually think it would have been better to be enslaved because they're going to die. And when you feel the hunger pains of your life, it's a question of whether or not you'll ever be satisfied again. I think for this, parents, you can see your children at any moment throughout the day. For me, it was usually pickup during school. I picked them up from school and they're like, we're so hungry, we're about to die. And that happened every day I picked them up. I actually had to outlaw the phrase that we're dying of hunger. I'm like, listen, you little kids, you're not dying of hunger. You're hungry, but you're not dying of hunger. They needed a constant reminder that their hunger was not going to cause them to perish. And this is the message of the Sermon on the Mount. The message of the Sermon on the Mount is that your current conditions are temporary. Last week, it was blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom. You might be poor now on earth, but listen, you have a future in the kingdom of God that is going to be richly blessed. And today, we say, we look at Jesus' teaching, he says, blessed are you hunger now. That's an important word. It could also say, blessed are you who are hungry for now. There's coming a day when you will not be the bottom of the food chain. There's coming a day when you will be satisfied. In fact, the blessing continues to say, you're gonna be full. And so for this, just we'll actually spend more time on this when we look at the woes, because Jesus is going to give a warning for those who are full now and they're not hungry for God. He says, you're actually gonna be very hungry in the coming day. The script is going to flip. But hear this, because you all have conditions in your life that when you look at children thinking they're gonna die because it's the afternoon and they haven't had a snack yet, we laugh. But you have conditions of your life, you think, I'm not gonna make it. I'm gonna perish because of what's happening in my circumstance with physical need, emotional need. The future looks daunting. And as Jesus continues this teaching in the version that we get in Matthew chapter 6, he uses hunger as a way to teach them to trust him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, do not worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Stop thinking you're going to die. Stop thinking you're going to perish. For after these things, the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Your hunger is temporary. Your hunger presented to God is going to be met with his provision. And then he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Again, I won't spend all of our time on this principle that whatever your earthly lot is right now, the Sermon on the Mount teaches you how to have hope. But I think it's worth just pointing out right now that I'm speaking to some of you who have a deep hunger in your life. You think about the conditions that you walked into this sanctuary with, and there are some unmet wants, needs, and desires that just exist anytime the message goes out. I specifically think of just, you know, the world that we're passing off to the next generation. What a time to be a young person, a 20-something, and you're just looking out to the future, and you just hear all of these worries. It's like the future of how you make money and the future of AI and the workforce is like, how are any of you going to provide for anyone? You think about starting a family in such a time as this, and you hear more and more young people thinking, I can't do that. My life is crazy. I have so much stress. I can barely provide for myself. How can I step out in faith and take on more? Or just recently, you think about what the world is, the headline news of the world is wars and rumors of wars all the time. And to be a young person, you're thinking, I don't know if we're going to perish. There's an appetite for the goodness of God that needs to hear, once again, don't worry. The people of God, the kingdom people, you listen to the Sermon on the Mount, and you have a hope no matter what the conditions of your earthly lot are. You have a hunger for a family, God will provide. You have a hunger to continue to look forward into the future and say, hey, I'm gonna work hard. I'm gonna trust that God will someday provide for me and the desires of my heart will be met in God. To say to the hungry now, you will be filled, is to say, trust God. Have hope that your current wants, needs, and desires will be met with the goodness of God. So Jesus is saying, the one of the reasons you can be blessed is hunger is a test of hope, and you got hope in the kingdom of God. The second way that we'll look at how to answer this question, how can hunger actually be a blessing? Well, another way to think of hunger is a desire. And you are actually blessed with desire. You're blessed when you have a hunger for the good things that God wants to give you in life. In fact, you can see this point in kind of the opposite. One of the most dangerous conditions you can be in physically is to lose your appetite, is to have no hunger. In fact, if you're going through a sickness or disease and one of the symptoms is that you just don't want to eat, that's pointing you to a cause that could be very dangerous. In fact, many people near the end of their life totally lose their appetite for food. That hunger is inside of you because you have life desiring more sustenance. And the same is true, not just of physical hunger or physical illness, but if you've ever gone through emotional distress, a season of depression or weightiness on your life, if you've ever experienced heartbreak in your life, you know one of the things that just leaves you is you can't eat. You're in a place in your life where the hunger is gone. It's a sign that something's going on that is rattling your soul. We see this in Psalm chapter 42. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?" For those of you who have a hunger right now, you might, as this sermon goes on too long, the hunger might take over. You might think, I got to eat. You're being pushed to a good and healthy desire for you to get nourishment. And one of the ways that we have to understand this is to see that Jesus, yes, is speaking literally to hungry people, but he's also, as we know from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he's speaking about a hunger for God. There is such a healthy hunger for people who are on the right track in the will of God. He says in that version, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness." David Gusick says, "Hunger in this case is an intense, focused desire for God. Physical hunger drives you straight to food. Spiritual hunger is meant to drive you to Christ. Blessed are the hungry, for they thirst for righteousness." The psalmist says, "As the deer pants for the water's brooks, so my soul longs for God and thirsts for God, the living God. When should I come before God?" There is a blessedness in the appetite that we are supposed to have for God. And I have to say, being a pastor, a preacher in this instance, there is no greater ease of pastoring and preaching than when I am before a hungry audience. Maybe just a hungry audience of one person, but you know, the people after a sermon, you know, they say, "Oh my goodness, that was so good," or "I just wish that would have gone longer." Hungry believers, it's like you don't actually need a well-packaged sermon. You just have to be presenting the word of God, and they're just soaking it up. And the opposite is true too. One of the hardest things, the context to preach around, is people that, you know, they're here, but they're, you know, they could be somewhere else just as easily. It's like I come to church, and you know, I like this particular church because the sermons are shorter than the other ones, and the parking's easy, and you know, we'll get in and we'll get out, and I'll get on with my day, and they don't require too much of me. There's really no sermon that's going to reach that person. Which, you know, as a preacher, I find comfort in the reality that the effectiveness of the word of God preached, presented, shared with you has very little to do with the package and everything to do with the appetite. When you are hungry for God, God can speak to you in a variety of different ways. And unfortunately, you may have sensed this in your own life, you may sense this just in the world that we live in, it seems to me, as someone who can be, you know, qualified as a bit of an insider, we live in a church age that has lost its appetite for the glory of God. Well, we live in a church age that is very good at gathering and doing the operations of a church. There are more churches than there are McDonald's, which is always a stat that blows me away. So we're very good at doing church. But church, in its current form, is often required to be presented as the perfect meal. The parking has to be perfect, and the sermon has to ignite your senses to want to have some. Because people are so full with other things that they're not hungry to hear from God. So the real question of this sermon is not how hunger is a blessing. It's how do you actually get hungry for God? How do you come to a place where the word of God can speak, where the gathering and the call to live for God and live out faith in God doesn't have to be presented in the perfect package, otherwise you won't listen. So as we consider this blessing before us that is so counterintuitive, I'll just present you with a question, I'll offer you some ideas, and those of you who are hungry may snack on some of my ideas and go look for more. How do we hunger for God? I'll give three ways that I see in the word and just experiencing life in godliness that an appetite for God can be renewed or restored or given for the first time. And right out the gate, Here they are: repentance, redemption, and radical faith. These are three times, moments, seasons, where when you see someone going through repentance or redemption, renewal, or a moment of radical faith, there is built into those moments hunger for God. So we start with repentance. And in this instance, there's so many different ways that the preacher may try to present what repentance is: a change of direction, a change of mind. In this instance, think of it as a change of diet. You know, your doctor may call you to repentance as you come into the waiting room, and he looks at your chart and he looks at your vitals and he says, listen, you got to change your diet. Most of your health issues are due to how you're currently consuming your diet. And the doctor's causing or calling you to a repentance of consumption right there. That's what's happening. And what the good news is just like you can change a diet and develop a good and healthy appetite, your appetite can determine what you crave. You think about the spiritual diet of so many of the American church or who we are. We consume all of these things that don't actually benefit our soul. Think about the first thing you do when you wake out of bed. Your appetite is for what's the latest news? What are the latest photos shared by my friends? What's the first thing in my email box? And what we're doing is we're actually cultivating an appetite not for God, but the things of this world. And you look at the converse of that. If you had an appetite for sleeping in and being lazy and you wanted to repent and change your physical appetite, wake up early in the morning, go to the gym, and over time you'll actually start to crave working out. And in the same way, you can change your spiritual appetite by repenting of how you just consume the world around you and spending time in the presence of God. The danger of the way that so many of us live our lives is that when you get so full in the ways of the world, there's no room left in your spiritual appetite for God. It says in Proverbs chapter 27, a person who is full refuses honey, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. Proverbs require you to think. So what is this proverb saying? A person who is so full, they've just got done feasting. Well, the joy of the ancient diet was a little something sweet with the honey. And he's like, I'm so full, I can't even take the best part. And yet he says, when somebody's hungry, they can eat anything and be satisfied. Anything that you have for me, I'll take. John Piper says, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world that you are too full to hunger. Repentance is a call to change your spiritual diet. And I have to say, I feel a little bit like a doctor in a waiting room. A preacher calling a sanctuary of believers to repent is a little bit like a doctor coming into the waiting room and saying, you know, you really should focus more on God and less on the things of this world. And then you'll leave here and you'll think, maybe I'll do that, maybe I won't. And just like someone who takes the advice of a doctor, they'll have some health benefits, but if they don't, they're going to continue to go down the road until they get scared straight. And so oftentimes repentance in this way requires you to be so full and so sick of the diet of the world that you're willing to actually make a change. Now, some of this is a warning, like repent now or repent later. There's actually a great parable in the Bible to give us a picture of someone who was so sick of the diet of the world. They were so sick of consuming the worldly appetite that they actually decided to make a change. We often think of this parable, or call this parable, the parable of the prodigal son. But think about it. It could easily be called the parable of the hungry son. You think about what he did. He left the goodness of his father's house, and he went to consume the world. He took all of his money and he spent it. He took it in. He was feasting. He was enjoying the pleasures of the world. He did whatever he wanted with the offering of the world. And what happened? That diet was so unfulfilling that he came to the end of himself. In fact, God used a famine and gave him physical hunger to point out his spiritual hunger. Look what it says in verse 14 of Luke chapter 15. It says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but nobody gave him anything. He was so hungry that he was willing to eat pig food, especially scandalous for a Jewish person. And he was such in want that he finally came to his senses. It says in verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I'm gonna perish in hunger? And so here's a prophetic word. Some of you come to church and you're full. Your diet is not the things of God. It is not a desire to know God's word and his will for your life. Your diet is all the things of the world. Here's what's gonna happen. You are going to come to an end and you're gonna be so sick of it, and it's gonna leave you in such want. And you're gonna remember that there is a God who loves you and he's good, and you're dying of hunger, and you will have a new hunger for God. That is the design of repentance. He comes back, and what do we get at the end of the story? This guy who couldn't find even pig food, he gets a feast. This is the gospel, that you can be so empty, you can be so broken by consuming the ways of the world that you find yourself in a famished land, you find yourself in want, and you come to God, and he said, here is the actual blessing of your hunger. I will fill you. What a blessing it is to repent and come to God. Now, I hope that none of you will come to that place where you're that far from God. All of us continually can say, why am I eating this when I have the joy of God's will to sustain and comfort my life? Repentance will bring a new hunger for your life for God. So will redemption. You know, repentance, real repentance, can be marked by two things. An unsatiable desire for God. I'm repenting. I just want God and a redemption in your life. When you fully turn away from the ways of the world, you will find the grace of God is more vast and deeper than your sin, and there will be a moment of redemption. You can think back to the joy of your salvation for those of you who have experienced that. You can think back to any time you repented and came back to the Lord. There is this beautiful time where the Lord redeems the things that were lost. In 1 Peter, it says, as newborn babes desire pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, when you see people come into the kingdom with a hunger for God, it's a gift to all of us to be reminded of what it's like to just desire the goodness of God in your life. And you kind of see it in the metaphor, the analogy. Is there anything hungrier than a newborn baby? You know, the baby's first cry is like, feed me. And then, you know, then they cry all the time. And the answer is typically they're hungry. They've either got a mess on their hands or they're hungry. And that's kind of true of newborns or new believers. It's like, listen, they just want to be fed. And again, pastoring, there's such a sweet moment when a new believer comes into the church and they just want everything. In those moments, announcements do not have to be eloquent or clever. I love seeing the new people, they're new in the Lord, and they just like study the bulletin. How can I get involved? How can I jump in? How can I learn more? How can I understand more? Disciple me. When you go through a season of redemption in your life, there is a brand new hunger and focus on God's nourishment through his word and his will for your life. So you have this moment of repentance, you have the moment of redemption, and some of you, you can look back in both of those examples and think, I remember that hunger. I remember when I was repenting, I just wanted God's will for my life. I remember when I was coming into the kingdom, I just wanted more of God. And for all of us, that third part applies to every single one of us. To live with radical faith is to have a total dependency and a hunger on the will of God for your life. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the inevitable and constant preliminary to revival has always been a thirst for God, a living thirst for a knowledge of the living God and a hunger for the will of God. In one moment, Jesus, the series, The Way of Jesus, we look at Jesus for all of this. And Jesus did not come feasting. Jesus came and he said, in a moment of great hunger for his day of ministry, ministering to the woman of the well, John chapter 4, he's just spending time with a woman, preaching the gospel, sharing with her the plan for the Messiah to bring salvation. And his disciples would come, hey, you got to get some food. And what does he say? He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. If you hear this message and you say, I would love a hunger for God, the fastest way that you can be revived is to say, Lord, I want to step out in faith. And I want to do something that you've called me to do. I want to live within the perfect will that you have for my life in such a way that I'm desperate for you. That if I have to pray because I need you to be my provision. I think one of the challenges for this whole message is that we live in a culture that has completely eradicated hunger for the most part. And it's not just physical hunger we've eradicated. We've also eradicated the dependency on God. So much of us have lives that if you remove the Holy Spirit, you remove the word from your life would go on without missing a beat. And the answer to some of this is to say, God, am I actually living my life with enough faith to say, I need you every day? I need your presence to fill me with joy. I need your word to be a lamp unto my feet. I need your people to be my community. Do you need God? And I'll tell you this, if you're living in the will of God, just thinking about the sermon series we're in, you will need him because the ways of the world will no longer make sense. Because the default plan for how to find blessing and how to map out your life will no longer be the default plan for your life. You will need God to give you wisdom and insight and encouragement. Live in the will of God and you will be hungry for the provision of God. So we have blessed with hope. And we have this blessing that comes with hunger for God. And finally, it's the encouragement of this entire sermon series, is that you are also blessed with satisfaction. Look what he says. The hunger shall be filled. This is maybe understated in the times that we live in when the message of the gospel goes out. So much of this is a look to the future when God sets all into order. And when we're all into heaven and eternity makes sense and he's wiped away every tear from our eyes, of course we're going to have satisfaction then. But here's the great joy and the secret of following Jesus. Those who follow Jesus, those who have a hunger for the will of God in their life, have a deep and meaningful satisfaction in their life. The psalmist says, for God satisfies the longing of the soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Jesus is inviting everyone to his kingdom, and he's promising them. He says, listen, this is all going to be upside down. It's going to be different than the ways of the world, but it's going to be blessed. The poor will be blessed. The hungry will be blessed. The mourning will be blessed. Those who are persecuted will be blessed. The promise of your hunger for God is that if you really live out those ways to be hungry, if you really did repent, if you really did say, God, renew me, redeem me, and you really said, I want to live in your will, here's the promise. You'll be filled. Your life will be full of goodness. And isn't that the biggest question for everyone on the fence with the will of God? Isn't that the fundamental fear that people have in giving their life to God? The fundamental fear goes all the way back to the garden. Are we so certain that living God's will is gonna be good? Did God really say that you shouldn't eat of that? Maybe it would be better if you didn't listen to him. Every one of you, every one of us, our biggest struggle in life is to wrestle with whether or not we really believe following God and his plan for our life in the ways that it makes no sense is actually going to be good. At the core of all your wrestling, whether or not you should read the word in the morning or scroll on your phone, whether or not you should trust God with all of your wishes and dreams, or whether you should work hard and provide for yourself, at the core of all of it, there is a question of whether or not you will actually be cared for and your soul will be overflowing with goodness in the perfect plan of God for your life. And Jesus says, listen, think about those times you were hungry. If your parents know how to take care of you, how much more will God? And the antithesis is true. Some of you need to learn this from just the way your life is unfolding outside the will of God. You're hungry for God and you're going to be full and your life will be abundant and you will be cared for. And think about all the things we do apart from God. And ask yourself this fundamental question. Am I really satisfied? Think about all the ways people reject the will of God and they look at us believers who are following Jesus in this narrow way and they laugh at us. They think we wear a spiritual straitjacket and we're bound by these weird ways that Jesus tells us to live. The question for life is, can you be satisfied outside of God? And then you'll wrestle with it, with your spiritual appetite. And Jesus says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness found only in Christ, those who hunger and thirst for God are the only ones who will be satisfied. And so what would it look like if we reoriented our life to look a little bit different? And I just can't help but thinking there are some here right now, if you just took a real survey of your life, are you actually satisfied with what you're doing? And here's the invitation. For those who are far off, for those who came to church ready to worship Jesus, here's the invitation. What would your life look like if you changed your diet? What would your life look like if tomorrow morning when you woke up, you were determined to start your day with a hunger for God? And the faith that Jesus is calling his people to now is to say, if you give God your hunger, you let him satisfy the longings of your life, you will be blessed.
Thanks for joining us today. If you would like to watch the full service, check out the link in the description. For next steps and to learn more, visit calvaryboise.com.